Charlotte's Web isn't just a children's story. It's a cultural touchstone that has sold over 45 million copies worldwide since its publication in 1952. This deceptively simple tale about a pig and a spider has been translated into 23 languages and was named the best American children's book of the past 200 years by the Children's Literature Association. E.B. White, already famous for his essays in The New Yorker, created something truly magical here, a story that continues to move readers 7 decades later. When polled, both Oprah Winfrey and Julia Roberts named it as their favorite childhood book, and its 1973 animated adaptation became a beloved classic for multiple generations. What makes this story of friendship between unlikely creatures so enduring? Perhaps it's because beneath its gentle farm setting lies profound wisdom about life, death, and the power of compassion that resonates with readers of all ages. The story begins with a simple but powerful act of mercy. 8-year-old Fern Arable discovers her father heading to the hog house with an axe, intending to kill the runt of a new litter of pigs. Rather than accepting this as the normal course of farm life, Fern's sense of justice is immediately ignited. "This is the most terrible case of injustice I ever heard of," she cries, confronting her father with the devastating question. "If I had been very small at birth, would you have killed me?" This moment of moral clarity from a child stops her father in his tracks. Mr. Arable, moved by his daughter's passionate defense of the vulnerable, relents and allows Fern to raise the tiny pig herself. It's a perfect illustration of how children often see ethical situations with a clarity adults have lost. Fern's intervention sets the entire story in motion, creating space for Wilbur to live and eventually meet Charlotte. The depth of Fern's connection to Wilbur becomes all-consuming. She bottle feeds him, creates a special box for him in the kitchen, and later moves him to the woodshed with a cozy straw nest. Their bond transcends the typical human-animal relationship. Wilbur follows her everywhere, even riding in her doll carriage when his little legs tire. When Fern's teacher asks for Pennsylvania's capital during class, she dreamily answers Wilbur instead, revealing how completely this new relationship has captured her imagination. When Mr. Arable eventually insists the growing pig must be sold, Fern arranges for her Uncle Homer Zuckerman to buy Wilbur for $6. Though tearful at the separation, she's comforted knowing she can visit him at the nearby farm. This opening sequence establishes the emotional foundation of the story, that compassion can literally save lives, and that connections between different species can be profound and meaningful. Fern's simple act of standing up for what she believes is right becomes the catalyst for all the magic that follows. Wilbur's first taste of freedom comes unexpectedly when the goose encourages him to push against a loose board in his pen. "There's more to life than eating and sleeping," she insists, and Wilbur, intrigued by the possibility of adventure, makes his escape. The ensuing chaos is both comical and revealing. The entire farm erupts as Lurvy and Mr. Zuckerman chase the little pig through the orchard while the goose shouts contradictory instructions. All the animals become invested in Wilbur's brief freedom, offering conflicting advice as he darts between human legs. Yet freedom proves overwhelming for the young pig. Confused and frightened by the commotion, Wilbur begins to cry. When Mr. Zuckerman appears with a pail of slops, the temptation proves too great despite the goose's warning. "It's the old pail trick!" Wilbur follows the farmer back to his pen, deciding he's too young to go out into the world alone. This early episode cleverly foreshadows one of the book's central themes, that freedom without connection is ultimately unsatisfying. This truth becomes painfully clear to Wilbur when loneliness descends. On a dark, rainy day, his carefully planned schedule is ruined, and he seeks companionship from the other animals. One by one, they reject him. The goose is sitting on eggs, the lamb dismisses him rudely, and Templeton the rat prefers eating Wilbur's breakfast to playing. "I'm a glutton, but not a merrymaker," the rat declares, before disappearing into his tunnel. The scene of Wilbur sobbing in the manure is heart-wrenching, a creature whose basic needs are met but who suffers from profound social isolation. When Lurvy notices something wrong and administers medicine, it only adds to Wilbur's misery, making this certainly the worst day of his life. This moment of absolute despair is precisely when salvation arrives in the form of a small, pleasant voice from the darkness. "Do you want a friend, Wilbur? I'll be a friend to you." The voice promises, "Go to sleep. You'll see me in the morning." This pattern, hope appearing at the moment of greatest desperation, will repeat throughout the story, teaching us that our darkest moments often precede unexpected grace. Throughout that long night, Wilbur tosses and turns, his empty stomach and full mind making sleep difficult. He hears Templeton gnawing at the grain bin and briefly converses with the goose sitting on her 8 eggs, but mostly he waits in anticipation, wondering about the mysterious voice that promised friendship. As dawn gradually illuminates the barn, Wilbur eagerly surveys his surroundings, looking for his new friend. Finding no one new, he calls out formally, "Attention, please," asking his nighttime visitor to reveal themselves. After being scolded by the oldest sheep for potentially waking someone too early, Wilbur meekly lies down. Just as he settles for his morning nap after breakfast, the thin voice returns with a puzzling greeting, "Salutations!" Looking up to the doorway corner, Wilbur finally discovers Charlotte A. Cavatica, a large gray spider hanging from her web. What follows is one of literature's most unexpected friendships. Charlotte's first impression is hardly reassuring to Wilbur. He watches in horror as she efficiently captures, wraps, and consumes a fly. When questioned about this seemingly brutal behavior, Charlotte matter-of-factly explains her natural role as a trapper. "I have to live, don't I? I have to eat bugs to stay alive, and I catch them in my web." Her pragmatic approach to survival initially troubles the sensitive pig, but he gradually begins to appreciate Charlotte's cleverness and the ecological importance of her work. Haven't we all experienced this? Initial impressions that give way to deeper understanding as we truly get to know someone different from ourselves? Charlotte and Wilbur couldn't be more different. She's a carnivorous arachnid who lives by killing, while he's a gentle herbivore who faints at the mention of slaughter. She's articulate, educated, and philosophical. He's emotional, innocent, and sometimes naive. Yet these differences become the foundation of their extraordinary bond. The narrator gives us a glimpse of what's to come, revealing that despite Wilbur's initial doubts about this unusual friendship, Charlotte was to prove loyal and true to the very end. This foreshadowing hints at the profound sacrifice that will eventually define their relationship, suggesting that true friendship transcends not just species, but sometimes even life itself. Early summer brings a symphony of natural beauty to the Zuckerman farm. Lilacs and apple blossoms perfume the air, birds fill the trees with song, and warm days stretch into long evenings. With school ended, Fern visits the barn almost daily, sitting quietly on her 3-legged stool while the animals, remarkably, treat her as one of their own. This idyllic setting forms the backdrop for the deepening relationships that will ultimately save Wilbur's life. July brings haymaking, with the mowing machine cutting tall grass into green swaths that dry in the sun. Fern and her brother Avery delight in riding atop the loaded hay wagon as it returns to the barn. White-throated sparrows, phoebes, and song sparrows create a constant musical backdrop to farm activities. The season provides endless natural treats for children to discover. Wild strawberries hidden in the meadows, sweet-smelling clover blossoms, and mysterious paths through tall grasses. Against this backdrop of seasonal abundance, life in the barn continues its own rhythm. When the goose's eggs finally hatch, Charlotte is the first to announce the arrival of 7 goslings, offering her sincere congratulations to the proud parents. This moment reveals Charlotte's attentiveness to the lives around her. Despite being a different species, she celebrates the goose's joy as if it were her own. the scene takes a darker turn when Templeton the Rat appears, questioning what happened to the eighth egg. When told it was a dud, he claims it for his collection, though both Goose and Gander warn him to stay away from their offspring. Everyone watches with disgust as Templeton rolls away the unhatched egg, with Charlotte warning it would make the barn uninhabitable if it broke. These interactions reveal the complex social ecosystem of the barn, a place where different species maintain an uneasy coexistence. Some relationships, like Charlotte and Wilbur's growing friendship, are based on mutual affection and respect. Others, like the animal's collective wariness toward Templeton, stem from the rat's self-serving nature. Yet all must find ways to live together in this shared space, much as we humans navigate our own complex social environments. That afternoon, Mr. Zuckerman discovers the goose proudly leading her seven goslings into the barnyard, a small but perfect moment of new life continuing the eternal cycle of the farm. These rhythms of birth, growth, and eventually death form the heartbeat of the story, reminding us that all lives, however humble, participate in something larger than themselves. As summer progresses, Wilbur grows increasingly fond of Charlotte, particularly admiring how she thoughtfully anesthetizes her prey before consuming them, a small mercy that reveals her compassionate nature despite her predatory lifestyle. Wilbur eats heartily, gains weight, and enjoys pleasant dreams, completely unaware of the fate that awaits him. Then comes the moment that shatters his innocence. One afternoon, the oldest sheep casually mentions that the Zuckermans are fattening him up to kill him at Christmas time. Almost all young pigs get turned into smoked bacon and ham, the sheep explains matter-of-factly. This revelation of mortality, that his comfortable life has an intended endpoint, devastates Wilbur. He begins screaming and crying, while Fern, who is present, grows rigid on her stool, absorbing this harsh reality alongside her beloved pig. This moment represents a loss of innocence for both Wilbur and young Fern, the realization that the world contains suffering that cannot always be prevented. It's a universal human experience, that first understanding that death awaits us all, and that sometimes those we love are in danger we cannot easily prevent. Charlotte, however, responds with remarkable determination. She confirms the sheep's warning, but firmly declares, "You shall not die." When the panicked Wilbur asks who will save him, Charlotte simply states, "I am," though she doesn't yet know how. Her command that Wilbur stop his hysterics immediately shows her practical nature. Panic won't solve the problem. Only clear thinking and action can change his fate. This pivotal scene establishes the central conflict of the story, Wilbur's impending death, while simultaneously offering hope through Charlotte's unwavering commitment to her friend. It's a powerful message about facing mortality. While death is inevitable for all living things, how we respond to this knowledge defines us. Do we surrender to despair, or do we, like Charlotte, commit ourselves to making the time we have meaningful through acts of love and service? Charlotte's promise, made without knowing how she'll fulfill it, demonstrates extraordinary courage and loyalty. She doesn't offer false reassurance or empty platitudes. Instead, she commits herself completely to saving her friend, even without a clear plan. This is the essence of true friendship, the willingness to stand beside someone in their darkest hour, offering not just comfort, but a determination to act, even when the path forward isn't clear. During Sunday breakfast, Fern casually mentions to her parents that Uncle Homer's goose hatched seven goslings, with the eighth egg given to Templeton the Rat. What seems like innocent conversation to Fern raises immediate concern for Mrs. Arable, who grows increasingly worried as her daughter speaks about the barn animals as though she can understand their conversations. When Fern refers to us in the barn cellar, her father questions who she means, and Fern naturally includes herself among Wilbur, the sheep, lambs, geese, and Charlotte in the group. Mrs. Arable becomes even more concerned upon learning that Charlotte, Wilbur's terribly clever best friend, is actually a spider who catches flies and drinks their blood. The contrast between Fern's matter-of-fact acceptance of the natural world and her mother's alarm reveals the gap between childhood perception and adult concerns. After Fern goes upstairs to prepare for Sunday school, Mrs. Arable confides to her husband that she worries about Fern's imagination and plans to consult Dr. Dorian about her daughter's behavior. Mr. Arable, however, offers a different perspective, suggesting that perhaps their ears simply aren't as sharp as Fern's. His comment hints at the possibility that children might perceive truths that adults have become too dull to recognize. This theme continues when Mrs. Arable visits Dr. Dorian to discuss her concerns about Fern. Rather than sharing her worry, the doctor seems enchanted by Fern's barn visits. When Mrs. Arable mentions the mysterious words appearing in the spider's web, Dr. Dorian philosophically notes that, while everyone calls the words a miracle, they overlook that the web itself is equally miraculous. "Did you ever hear of the Queensborough spider?" he asks. "It's a spider that lives in the subway and spins a web across the inner circle rail. Every time a train comes along, that web gets broken, but the spider never gives up." His observation about nature's persistence mirrors Charlotte's determination to save Wilbur despite overwhelming odds. Dr. Dorian reassures Mrs. Arable that Fern is perfectly healthy and well-adjusted. He suggests that while she will always love animals, eventually other interests, even boys like Henry Fussy, will capture her attention. This foreshadowing of Fern's natural development reminds us that growing up inevitably changes our perspective, sometimes causing us to lose the special insights of childhood. The conversation raises profound questions about perception and reality. Is Fern's ability to understand the animals merely imagination, or does she possess a special sensitivity that adults have lost? The story doesn't definitively answer this question, leaving readers to ponder whether growing up necessarily means losing touch with certain kinds of magic and wisdom. While watching Charlotte weave her web one afternoon, Wilbur admires her hairy legs. Charlotte explains they serve important purposes and lists the 7 sections of each leg with scientific precision. This exchange reveals Charlotte's intelligence and knowledge. She understands her own body and its functions with remarkable clarity. Impressed but feeling competitive, Wilbur boasts that he could spin a web if he tried. Charlotte's gentle challenge leads to Wilbur's comical failed attempts at web spinning, demonstrating that natural talents aren't easily imitated. Their conversation drifts to human bridges, sedentary lifestyles, and finally returns to Wilbur's fear of death. Charlotte firmly reiterates her promise to save him, though she admits her plan is still developing. "Trust me, Wilbur," she says, "I'm still thinking about it." Her instruction that Wilbur should build himself up, eat well, and stop worrying shows her practical approach to problems. Focus on what you can control while working on solutions for what you can't. Meanwhile, the crickets begin singing their melancholy song of summer's end, a warning that spreads across the farm. Everyone who hears it feels the impending change. Fern and Avery know school will begin soon. The young geese realize they'll never be goslings again. And Charlotte understands her time is limited. Even a maple tree turned bright red with anxiety. This poetic description of seasonal change creates a sense of urgency. Time is passing, and Charlotte must act soon to save Wilbur. When inspiration finally strikes Charlotte in mid-July, she decides to fool Zuckerman with a trick, reasoning that people are not as smart as bugs. Her plan to write messages in her web about Wilbur represents a creative solution to an impossible problem. Rather than confronting human power directly, Charlotte uses her natural talents, web building, in an unexpected way to change human perception. She can't physically prevent Wilbur's slaughter, but she can alter how humans see him, transforming him from ordinary bacon into something special worth preserving. This strategy reflects a profound truth. Sometimes direct confrontation isn't the most effective approach to change. By working within her limitations while thinking creatively, Charlotte finds a way to influence beings hundreds of times her size. Her plan succeeds brilliantly when Lurvy discovers some pig woven into her web, creating a sensation that transforms the Zuckerman farm into a tourist attraction and makes Wilbur too valuable to kill. The message here is powerful. Creativity and determination can overcome seemingly insurmountable obstacles. When faced with problems that appear hopeless, sometimes the solution lies not in direct confrontation, but in changing perceptions through unexpected means. The message here is powerful. Creativity and determination can overcome seemingly insurmountable obstacles. As Charlotte's web messages begin to lose their novelty, she calls a meeting of all the barn animals to discuss her next move. This democratic approach to problem solving shows Charlotte's leadership skills. She values input from the community rather than acting alone. When she approves "terrific" as her next message, Wilbur modestly protests that he isn't terrific. Charlotte dismisses his concern with practical wisdom. People believe almost anything they see in print. The oldest sheep suggests that Templeton the rat could help by bringing magazine clippings from the dump. When Charlotte doubts he would cooperate, the sheep promises to convince him by appealing to his self-interest. If Wilbur is killed and his trough stands empty day after day, you'll grow so thin we can look right through your stomach and see objects on the other side. This clever persuasion shows how even the most self-centered individuals can be brought into collaborative efforts when they understand the personal stakes. As the county fair approaches, Mr. Zuckerman decides to enter Wilbur in the competition. Charlotte announces she will accompany Wilbur despite her weakening condition, showing her dedication to seeing her plan through to completion. The night before the fair, everyone goes to bed early with dreams of the festivities. Avery stuck on the Ferris wheel, Fern getting sick on the swings, Lurvy winning prizes, and Mr. Zuckerman imagining Wilbur enormous and covered in blue ribbons. At the fair, Charlotte discovers an enormous pig named Uncle in the next pen, a formidable competitor described as having an unattractive personality who is too familiar, too noisy, with weak jokes. Despite her concern about Uncle's size, Charlotte assures Wilbur they can still win. Wilbur notices Charlotte seems listless and swollen, and she admits feeling tired. This subtle indication of Charlotte's declining health creates a sense of urgency. She must complete her plan before her strength fails completely. In a quiet moment at the fair, Wilbur discovers Charlotte has created an egg sack containing 514 eggs. "I counted them," she explains weakly. "I counted them just to keep my mind occupied." Though proud of her creation, Charlotte's voice carries a noticeable sadness. When questioned, she admits she is languishing and won't live to see her children. Despite Wilbur's distress, Charlotte remains focused on his big day, directing his attention to her beautiful web with "humble" woven into it, her final message to save her friend. This sequence reveals the depth of Charlotte's sacrifice. Even as she approaches death, she continues working to secure Wilbur's future. Her creation of an egg sack ensures her legacy will continue, while her final web message completes her plan to save Wilbur. The juxtaposition of these two acts, securing the future of both her friend and her offspring, shows Charlotte at her most selfless and heroic. The climactic scene at the judge's booth represents the culmination of Charlotte's plan. As Wilbur is transported for judging, the fair announcer proclaims the arrival of Homer L. Zuckerman's famous pig. Despite his nervousness, Wilbur stands proudly while the judges award Mr. Zuckerman $25 and a bronze medal for this remarkable animal. The medal around Wilbur's neck symbolizes his transformation from ordinary bacon to celebrated pig, his life now secure. Meanwhile, Charlotte remains in the pen, embracing her egg sack and taking quiet satisfaction in her hour of triumph. When Wilbur returns and notices her unusual quietness, she admits feeling tired but peaceful, knowing her work is complete. With gentle eloquence, she assures Wilbur his future is now secure. He will live safely through the coming seasons, enjoying the beauty of winter and the renewal of spring. Then comes the moment of heartbreaking truth. Charlotte reveals she will not be returning to the barn as she is dying. Despite Wilbur's desperate pleas to stay with her, Charlotte insists he must go. In a final act of devotion, Wilbur convinces the reluctant Templeton to retrieve Charlotte's egg sack by promising him first choice at mealtimes forever, a significant sacrifice that shows Wilbur's growth and willingness to give of himself to honor his friend. As Wilbur is crated to leave, he gently carries the egg sack in his mouth, exchanging a final wordless goodbye with Charlotte, who summons her remaining strength for one last wave. She dies alone the next day as the fairgrounds empty, her crucial role unknown to the departing crowds. This poignant scene captures the private nature of many of life's most significant moments. Charlotte's heroism remains unknown to the humans who benefit from it, recognized only by the animals who witnessed her sacrifice. The story's resolution brings a bittersweet renewal. When Charlotte's egg sac hatches in the spring, most of her children float away on silk balloons. But three small spiders, Joy, Arania, and Nellie, choose to remain with Wilbur. They introduce themselves and promise friendship, building their webs in the same doorway their mother had used. Overwhelmed with happiness, Wilbur pledges his eternal friendship to Charlotte's daughters. In the years that follow, Wilbur lives contentedly in the barn cellar, with Charlotte's descendants keeping him company through generations. Though Fern visits less as she grows older, fulfilling Dr. Dorian's prediction about her changing interests, Wilbur continues to receive admirers as the famous pig who inspired miraculous web messages. The story's final observation captures its essence perfectly. While Wilbur dearly loves Charlotte's children and grandchildren, none ever replaces their remarkable mother in his heart. For Charlotte had been both a true friend and a good writer. This simple statement encapsulates what makes Charlotte extraordinary. Her combination of loyal friendship and creative talent used selflessly to save another. It's a powerful reminder that the impact of genuine love and friendship continues long after we're gone, rippling through generations in ways we might never anticipate.